Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Good evening, sports fans. You are listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am the one, the only JP. I am stuck in beautiful Baltimore, Maryland, for the U.S. Lacrosse Convention. Came into town, looking out my hotel window right now. It has stopped snowing, and I can actually see lights. On the phone with me is Mr. West Coast himself, Mark Foray. Mark, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, doing great. Coming to you from beautiful Colorado, where it was darn near 70 degrees today, and sunny and bright and all those wonderful things. So I'm sorry you got stuck out in Maryland, and I have to say, I don't think I've ever heard anyone call it beautiful in Maryland before, so nice to hear.
Well, you know, we are in Inner Harbor, so Inner Harbor is one of the more better, one of the nicer parts of Maryland. You know, beautiful aquarium, beautiful harbor. You know, unfortunately, the U.S. Lacrosse Convention, we really just got to go Friday. There was no one allowed on the roads today. We couldn't get an Uber at all. I saw a couple plow trucks go around. The heat went out in the hotel. We finally got it back right before we went down for dinner. Dinner, actually, after getting turned down the first time, we got back down there and actually got served pretty quick. So the whole hotel staff has been really nice to us. Everyone here has been doing a great job in some really tough circumstances. I want to thank the night manager here, Evan Kassem. He gave me a couple sodas to bring up to the room just so I had to freshen my breath or take a quick sip at, wet the whistle here. Let's get right into it. Let's start off with the big news right now. We're going to get in the NFC-AFC Championship games here in a second. The Wide World of Sports, let's go with David Blatt of the Cavaliers getting fired. What do you think about that, Mark?
I've got to say I'm just completely shocked. If you go to coach a team, they haven't – I think they were first last year in the East. They know they're in first this year. They went to the NBA Finals. They were competitive in the Finals despite missing two of their big three. They're having a good year this year. They're rolling. It makes absolutely no sense. But I know LeBron claims that he had no knowledge or influence on the decision.
Well, I don't believe that for one second. I think LaFraud, LaCramp, LaBrick, LaJoke had everything to do with that. They're nine games ahead of where they were last year. They're in first place. They went to the conference finals last year with a completely decimated team and, gave the Cavaliers or gave the Warriors a good run. Steph Curry's just on fire. I mean, he just hit his 200th three-point shot, and it was a half-court bang shot at the end of the period. I mean, how crazy is Steph right now?
We know he's amazing. I mean, as far as what happened in Cleveland, Cleveland, the city, is kind of notorious for kind of messing up sports-wise. I mean, they're a travesty with the Browns. The Indians have had a splash here and there. But, it's even a completely different Browns team that they're still having trouble with. And now the Cavaliers making weird moves. I definitely kind of felt the same way you did. I thought there was a pretty good chance LeBron wasn't happy with Blatt, and that's why he was gone. I know they replaced him with the assistant Tyronn Lue. Now, Lue played, I believe, with LeBron, and LeBron and Lue have been friends for years. So, he hasn't been shy about the fact that he wants to play under a former player. And after the years with Spoelstra, who was never seemed to even be calling the shots, and all that kind of stuff, maybe he just feels like he needs a chance to play that way.
Yeah, and like I said, LaFraud, I think, knew everything about it. I think this has been in the works since last year. Kevin Love is pulling up just basically bagels in these high-profile games. They got to figure out how to fit a round peg in a square hole somehow with that or get rid of them. I'm not sure what the Cavaliers are going to do about that.
Well, they're a team that's so focused on running ISO plays, and they don't pass the ball a lot. And I think Kevin Love is kind of that guy who needs to post up, get the pass in from the perimeter, and then trying to make a bucket. And I don't think that he's getting a chance to do that because all they're doing is Kyrie Irving or LeBron, diving in from the perimeter and driving to the hoop and trying to get fouled. So, when you have that good a player, especially the best player in the world, with Curry, maybe the second best player in the world, that's all you really need. I mean, if you're the best player or two of the best players, you're going to win most of your regular season games.
That's right, and they were down by 42 points against the Warriors the other night. At one point, I think it was in the third quarter. After the game, Kevin Love had some choice words. He said everyone needs to look into the mirror, looked over right at LeBron James' locker, and it kind of got made a big discussion all over the sports world about that. So I think, the Cavaliers need to look in the mirror here and say, where is this team going to go? And I mean,
I'm sure it matters that they played Golden State once and lost. Now they played them again and lost. Now they played them. I think this is the third time they played, if not the second. But I think it's the third, and because the second was on Christmas Day, and I don't even know if they
lost
by
at
all.
Christmas Day. Yeah, the Cavaliers played on Christmas Day out in San Francisco. That was an 8-point loss. They slowed the game down, kind of played a tempo game. Cavs still beat them. Cavs blew them out the final score was the starters didn't even play
the
fourth quarter.
Golden State blew them out.
Yeah, San Antonio beat the Cleveland, I think it was in San Antonio earlier in the month. We have Monday night, the first matchup of the year of the Golden State Warriors and the San Antonio. I am not by any means, but these are the two teams that I would watch. And I honestly, I hope I'm not flying in the air or what. I don't care what I am. If I'm still stuck here, I'm going to actually watch that game because I want to see some good old school basketball being played.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The top two teams in the West, probably the top two teams in basketball. It's going to be great. We have a little bit of baseball news. You want to kick that off?
Yes, we do. Yeah, let's kick this off. I mean, we've been talking about the big free agent names out there. Why don't you go right into the first one?
So, finally, Jonas Cespedes has signed with a team. This is the guy who came over to the Mets midseason. He completely reinvigorated that lineup and took them, because in the beginning of the year last year, the Mets were pitching great and had a bad record because they couldn't score more than a run or two a game. And then Cespedes shows up along with a couple of other free, trade pieces. But he was the big piece that came over, and they started scoring like 4 and 5 runs a game. So a big signing for the Mets. They really got a good deal. They got it for 3 years, $75 million, and they needed it. They needed that cleanup bat to build a lineup around.
Yeah, and let's not forget the 3-year deal does have a clause in it with a 1-year opt-out clause for Cespedes to get out of the deal and go somewhere else. So it's a 3-year deal, but it's really just one guaranteed.
And I think that that's a great idea on both sides because the Mets are a young team, probably going to be looking to get younger. Cespedes wanted that big contract. He wanted that $160 million, 7-year deal, $200 million, whatever it was. He wasn't going to get it. He knew he wasn't going to get it. So I think he thought, I'll do this, go there for a year. If they win the World Series or are right back in it, maybe he sticks around and tries to win one. If they kind of falter from where they were last year, the Cubs, are too much of a powerhouse with the Giants or the Dodgers or the Diamondbacks or, the Nationals, whatever. He's got the option to play free agency. And, I think it works out really good for both teams.
It does. Now let's go into basically the NL. The National League is considering going with the DH. I don't really like that. I think the pitchers need to be able to hit too, in my personal opinion. There's some pitchers out there that can hit home runs. I mean, I like the fact that the American League is old school with the DH, but the NL needs to be old school too, and I think they need to have the pitchers hitting.
I can't put into words how much I dislike the idea of this. It's as bad as Pete Rose not being in the Hall of Fame. It's just ridiculous. I mean, you don't have a DH in the NL because the AL is kind of the weak league, the sister league no one cares about. Because they're the weenie league, they're the whiner league. They can't play real baseball. No one really cares about them. They don't throw fastballs. They throw nothing but junk balls. I mean, the NL is respected more for being more of what baseball is. And in baseball, your pitcher needs to hit because that's the one big thing about the lineup is deciding whether or not you can leave the pitcher in there to hit when his pitch count is getting up. When you have a DH. You never have to make a decision. You take out the pitcher whenever you want to. And that's a terrible thing because part of the whole strategy is trying to tire out a pitcher and making him run the bases. And he gets on base, making him run back and forth and trying to get him more tired. It's just another way of sidestepping effort, which is what the AL does all the time. And I can't stand it. And if the NL does it this, really I'm going to have to seriously wonder if I like baseball anymore.
Well, I tell you, you know, there's a lot of strategy going into the game with the pitchers hitting, getting on base. When do you pull them? You pull them in a key situation when you need that base runner on base to try to score runs if you're down. There's just so much more strategy that goes into the game when you have the pitchers hitting.
And it's kind of an insult to the pitcher. I mean, if you were a pitcher, wouldn't you want to hit it? I mean, most pitchers in baseball, yeah, I mean, pitchers are like the best athletes in sports usually. And
they
just unbelievably athletic.
The regimen that they go through to get in shape, it's ridiculous that, you know, I would want to hit.
I mean, you know, even if I have to bunt most of the time, even if I'm a hitter that only hits 175, I want to hit. But it's not just that. It's just that's something you don't change. I mean, I heard him talking about bringing in a computerized or robotic umpire for balls or strikes. I'm not really in favor of that either, but I can understand that, right? You can say, well, we know the strike zone is, let's call strike a strike. Well, I understand that. I don't favor that, but I understand it. But as far as a DH, stop it. That's just a way to extend careers that shouldn't be extended, a way to cheat around having to take out your pitcher. It takes strategy out of the game. It's just, I just, you know, obviously I'm old school on baseball. But I am in favor of the wild card. I'm in favor of all that stuff. But come on, let's keep it a game that you actually have to put some effort into, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Mark, we're going to step aside for 10 seconds for station identification, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ashley from Twin Peaks Arapahoe, and you're listening to The Sports Offensive with JP and Mark on the blogtalkradio.com.
We are back.
Sounds
on the
good.
Yeah, doesn't she? We have to get a picture of her back up on our website, I think, or back up on our Twitter and our Facebook page. Let's go into the division round here. Let's start it off real quick. Just a look at last week's game leading into the championship weekend. Let's start with the KC New England game. This was a really exciting game, Mark.
All of the games were great, I thought. But I have to admit, Kansas City, New England. So I was in Vegas last weekend, which, you know, I mean, is the greatest place you can ever be. And it's one of the biggest gambling weekends in Vegas. And so we had our money, we had talked a lot beforehand. We're all going to try and bet the same games, mostly because you hate betting on one team and they do well and your buddy doesn't bet on them and then they leave and they're in a bad mood or whatever, you know. So anyway, we all went New England. We all went to Kansas City thinking it's going to be close. Kansas City's on a roll. You know, New England will probably find a way to squeeze it out, but, you know, New England's got, or KC's got the dominating defense, and they're playing well, and Macklin was going to play, and all that kind of stuff. And then it looked like it was garbage early. I mean, I ended up getting down after I put my bet in. I went over to a slot machine, threw in a quick 20. I hit $100, so I was kind of feeling good. Went to the craps tables, you know, before I got my chips. At the craps table. We're talking, this was in the morning on a Saturday, so I mean, it wasn't like it was packed. And before I got my chips, it was 7-0 New England, right? And then, you know, it just kind of went downhill.
I think Belichick pulled off the biggest Houdini of ever of that injury report he released about Gronk's in the hospital on Thursday. Edelman might not play. Amendola might not play. There might be nobody on the field. He had his full complement of offensive players. Let's just say that. And they were at full firing power.
Why would anyone ever believe anything a Bill Belichick injury report says? I mean,
well,
I think Tom Brady was on the injury report like 80% of his career.
Yeah, there's 21 players on the injury report for this Sunday right now, which is actually
every player that makes a difference. Yeah, every player that makes a difference is going to be playing tomorrow. You know, in Denver, there's no question. And it was an okay game. I mean, it kind of looked interesting late. You know, Kansas City had the turnover and they almost had a pick six, and they almost could have made a game of it. But I tell you what, I watched a little bit of that game. In the sports book, and I just couldn't stomach watching anymore. It was just ugly. Tom Brady was crying on every play. The refs were giving every call to the Patriots like they always do. It was not a fun game to watch.
Well, and the whole thing with Kansas City, they had the ball, they were down two scores, and they're in a hurry-up offense, but they were taking 21 seconds between each play, And the Eagles, the new head coach, Doug Peterson, got asked about that, and they were saying they didn't want to give Brady the ball back. I'm like, well, wait a second. You're two scores down. What are you talking about? He sounded like a quite frankly.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid's been known for that in the past. He did it in the Super Bowl with Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, you know what's also weird is the Patriots are going into their, I think their fifth straight AFC championship game or sixth straight. It's a lot. Andy Reid went through at least four of them, right, with the Eagles. And it's weird how the difference in if you win a Super Bowl and you do that, you're amazing. But if you don't win a Super Bowl and you do that, no one cares. And I wonder if it's the same thing like in Buffalo for – was it Marvin Levy? Was that the guy who was their coach? And you know, four straight Super Bowls. Marvin Levy, and they didn't win one. And you know, it's just you worry that that's going to cause some changes. But we got to get to that the Arizona Green Bay game. Let me tell you why. Okay,
let's take a second, real quick here. Let's actually stay on track here. Let's take a break. Let's take a break and thank our sponsors. Mark, when you got back from Vegas, what'd you do to get back your energy?
Well, you know, you always can use ekfit.net if you contact them. They'll get you a great exercise program. They'll get you some supplemental shakes to take places of meals and add a little extra protein to your diet. And they can help you reach the goal that you need so that you can hit that spinning class hard and that you can go to the mountains and hit the moguls. Or if you're looking for that beach body, they can put you into a program, a P90X, something else. You know, just contact ekfit.net on the internet. You can find them on Facebook. And they'll help you reach your fitness goals.
Yeah, we would also like to thank Sage Media for being one of our sponsors for websites, graphic design, social media, and much, much more. Sage Media will build and manage your company brand. In fact, they designed our own sports offensive logo. Go check it out, guys. Contact Kyle over at sagemediallc.com. That's sagemediallc.com. We'll be right back with the sports offensive with JP and Mark after this short commercial break.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
On the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am JP coming to you from 22 inches of snow in Baltimore, Maryland. Mark is on the phone with us tonight. He is out there in beautiful Denver, Colorado, 70 degrees today. Mark, sounded like you were going to play a little golf.
I tell you what, the windows open right now. It is beautiful. I mean, it can't be more than, couldn't be lower than 50 degrees outside. Most of the snow was melting. If only there was a little bit less snow melting on the golf courses. Probably could have hit some links today, but it didn't actually end up happening. But, I wanted to talk about that Green Bay-Arizona game that happened on Saturday night.
Ridiculous.
I mean, I've never seen anything like that. The first thing you have to think about before you even talk about this game was the Detroit Lions game on Thanksgiving. Remember how that game ended?
Yes, I do.
I mean, Hail Mary from Rodgers to Rodgers. And, life was kind of repeating itself, although it didn't end up the same. I had a real good day at the craps tables on Saturday. I had a good $700 in my pocket. was feeling great, had a little time to relax. So we were in the sports book at the Flamingo, which is not a very nice sports book, but we had great seats, right? So we're sitting there.
Now the Flamingo's not the best, but it'll work.
Yeah, it's a little old, but hey, you know, it's old school, you know. I mean, they're just looking for a reason to tear it down. So, we're sitting there watching the games, and we're smoking cigarettes, and we're having Chewies, and we're, you know, drinking whiskey sours, and all that stuff, and watching these crazy games.
Right?
What's that now?
You got stogies out, didn't you? You got to be smoking stogies in the Flamingo.
Oh, no.
I mean,
actually, someone brought along some very nice, was it Dunhills or Chesterfields? Or, like, I can't remember the brand, but real nice cigarettes.
There you go.
So, we don't smoke, so, I mean, it was just a couple for the game. But anyway, you know, pretty loaded watching this game. It's looking kind of going bouncing around back and forth, but it looks like Arizona's going to run it. We've got a bet on Arizona, right? We took Arizona and we teased it with the overs. We're thinking Arizona's going to win this game, no question. Last time it was 38-8 when Arizona's defense scored 4 touchdowns. Let's just say Arizona's going to, you know, fly right. I mean, they're a good team. I mean, you agree, right? I mean, Arizona's good.
Arizona, quite frankly, I think is the best team right now in the NFL.
Could be, right? I mean, they're super deep, great offense, good defense. And so that's what we're thinking, right? We're thinking this is an easy bet. So, you know, the game goes along the first half. It's just almost no points being scored. We're getting a little anxious. So we decide to kind of double down on our bet, right? So then we throw a bet down for a parlay on on Arizona and the overs for the second half. And as that game is starting to wind down, we also did some basketball bets, college basketball. We had kind of gone even on those. So we took the rest of the money we had left over, and we put it on Cal Poly, who was playing against Long Beach State. So we got both these games going on. And the Cal Poly game started about the second half of the football game. So the football game goes on and on. No points are being scored. And then there's the explosion at the end. And Rodgers has a great drive down the field. Green Bay scores. And then I believe Arizona got either a touchdown or a field goal. I can't remember. And then Green Bay had – we're thinking there's no way we're covering. We're too far away from the point. Even if Arizona is able to cover by the number of points, that, you know, by the spread, we're never hitting the overs. And we teased it into the parlay, so it's a lose, right? And, the only way this is going to happen is if Aaron Rodgers scores a touchdown in 24 seconds and we go to overtime. But there's no chance, right? There's no chance this is happening. And – I mean, Aaron Rodgers on it, there was at least 2 fourth downs I know of. One of them was 4th-and-20 on, like, the 40. And he throws a Hail Mary, and I don't remember, some guy I never heard of. I think it was his first catch of the year.
Second catch of the year. One play when they got the first down, and I think that was his second catch of the year, or third catch of the year, and the catch in the touchdown.
Yeah, first touchdown either way, right?
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. It was insane. I mean, Aaron Rodgers rolled to his weak side, his left side, gets blitzed. He's getting hit, falling back on one foot, and launches a bomb and scores the Hail touchdown. The Hail Rodgers. It really
And you're
was.
Thinking that ball, you know, maybe that ball makes it to the 10, right, or something like that. On your back foot, going away, who throws a ball 64 yards, you know, to the end zone? And who catches it? I mean, that was unbelievable.
I was shocked. My friend and I were watching the game, and we were just like, what just happened right there?
And see, I'm rooting for Arizona, not just for the best, but, you know, I want Carson Palmer to have a chance at a title. I want Larry Fitzgerald to have a chance at a title. I really couldn't care less about Green Bay. I think they're cocky. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers got his title, and that's all I really care about. He does deserve one. So I really don't care about Green Bay either way. But that whole sports book, was Green Bay. They had bet on Green Bay because they had a nice, I mean, it was a 7-point spread, so they're all betting on Green Bay on the unders and or as an underdog and all this kind of stuff. So the sports book just erupts. I mean, it just erupts, screaming everywhere from side to side, screaming, cheering, hooting and hollering. And we're sitting there going, well, actually, they're going to go to overtime now. Well, this is not so bad. Then we hit our overs. So we're like, okay, now we just need Arizona. What's that?
About that coin flip, can we get an over under? Because it's the same referee in the championship game. Can we, or actually in the Super Bowl? Do you think there's a?
I've never seen that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's weird. I mean, they definitely should have reflipped it because it didn't even rotate once. But
no, it didn't. I've never seen I've never seen a coin go flat in the air and flat onto the ground like that in all my years of
football. No, I mean, that's like a knuckleball. I mean, I don't even know how he did it. But you know what? It was exciting because then first play, you know, or first play or second play, you know, there's a throw out into the flat to Larry Fitzgerald. It's only like a 5 or 6 yard pass, but there's just nobody around him. And all of a sudden, he slips through Clay Matthews and one other dude, and he's gone all the way to the 5 yard line. We are standing up, screaming our heads off, just go, 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 score, score. If he scores a touchdown, the game will be over. Arizona's got the spread, they get the overs, and this is the 5 yard line, and they do that little pitch play, and he scores. We're going nuts. We're screaming. We're yelling. We're hollering. And the whole sportsbook is just silent, you know. But we're just sitting there just hooting and hollering, screaming and yelling, having a great time, looking at all the Green Bay bettors and fans, looking at all the press. You know, nothing more fun than having fun with people who are not smart bettors, right? So, anyway, after that, we go up to the room, getting ready to go out for Saturday, right, for Saturday night. And we got that bet on the Cal Poly game. And somehow Cal Poly scores like 9 points in the last like half a minute to go to overtime. And then they go to a second overtime and they win by 3 or 4 in the second overtime. The spread was 3, so we hit both bets and actually all 3 bets. And we're able to go hit on the town. So that was my first real Vegas story. And boy, that was a hoot and a holler, I got to tell you.
Well, it sounds like a fun time. I'll tell you what. I did that last 10 minutes of that Arizona game was probably some of the best 10 minutes, most exciting football I've ever seen.
You know, it really was. And I'm really glad that that was the time I wasn't gambling and was actually sitting there watching the game. Because, you know, and it made you kind of worry, though, right, when you saw Carson Palmer. Because, boy, he threw at least 2 passes that should have been intercepted. And then he had those terrible end zone passes, right?
He was playing super tight. He was playing not to lose the game. And Carson just needs to open it up. Let's get on to the Seattle and the Pitts and the Denver game here because we got about 2.5 minutes to the next commercial break. I want to get through this and devote the last half hour of the show completely towards the 2 championship games we have. The tale of two
Carolina-Seattle
games. I mean, 31-0 at the half. Seattle could have took 2 field goals, missed one, went for 4th down on the other, and then all of a sudden, I mean, that was a 10 a.m. start for them on the West Coast, on an East Coast start at 1:05. So they looked like
Russell Wilson's pick 6 was a terrible throw, terrible idea, giving that 14-0 lead. But I tell you what's got to be concerning for both. I mean, got to be concerning for Panthers. They scored 31 points in the half at a 31-0. Yeah, I'm sure they were just kind of like, well, let's just run that clock, run that clock, run that clock. But you know what?
You can't.
Seattle got within a touchdown, and you didn't score any points. And you might have wanted to keep that offense rolling going in against an Arizona team that's not going to be easy to score against either.
That's true. Let's jump into the Denver game right here. Denver's offense looked absolutely atrocious. It was ugly. It was ugly. If that running back doesn't fumble the ball, we're likely talking about a Pittsburgh Patriot championship game. Peyton bails him out at the end, thank God. But, I mean, what are your thoughts on the Broncos offense right now?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm still advocating Brock Osweiler because I don't think Manning – I think the mind is there. I think the body is mostly there. I just don't think he can throw the ball fast or release quick as much as he thinks he can. And I think that's what leads to him not playing so well. Now, he didn't look that bad on Sunday.
He didn't look that bad.
It really wasn't.
I mean, he had 120 yards going into the fourth quarter. I don't know what the completion percentage was, but I know he had about 120 yards going into the fourth.
Well, and I mean, how many huge drops did we see? I mean, I know Emmanuel Sanders had that one that was 20-yarder going out to the right. Demaryius Thomas had that one where he spun around, should have taken it. The one early on where he probably should have got a touchdown. You start to wonder because, like, you complete 3 or 4 of those plays, and it's a whole different ballgame because Denver's scoring at least field goals and maybe touchdowns. And, you know, it's not such a close game. But, look, if the defense is healthy, if the defense can do against New England what they were doing against Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh didn't have D'Angelo Williams, and they didn't have Antonio Brown. So That offense wasn't as explosive as it usually would be. But they held them to 12 points. That's really good. If they can hold New England to under 20, I think it's a lock for the Broncos. If they hold them under 24, I think it's still a good chance for the Broncos because I don't think all the receivers make all those drops again at home, especially if the Patriots don't have Hightower in tomorrow to help take the running game out of it. You know, I think the offense will be okay, but I don't know, man. It's nerve-wracking watching a team with such a good defense that can't score.
Definitely. Well, we're going to get into that. We're going to devote the last half hour of the show to the Carolina game and the Denver game. We're going to start first with the Carolina-Arizona game. You're listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back after this short commercial break.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Welcome back, sports fans. This is the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am coming to you live from Baltimore, Maryland, where it has stopped snowing, but we still have 22 inches on the ground. And we have Mark Foray on the phone out in beautiful Denver. Mark, let's get into the championship game.
22 inches of snow. That's just crazy. Hey, before we jump into that,
yeah.
Just want to get your take on two things. Number one, Chip Kelly goes to the Niners. Do you think that's a good fit? And number two, do you think he can make Kaepernick look like a good quarterback again by not making him a pocket passer but letting him be kind of an option running and throwing guy?
Let's just put it this way. You know, if we're going to get into a second of Chip Kelly talk, I heard he traded the entire 49ers roster for a corndog. So, I mean, that's pretty much what Chip Kelly right now.
I saw that meme too, yeah.
You know, can he make it work? That's so defunct, it doesn't make a difference. They already has a lack of talent needed from the Eagles, so he's starting out with no talent. So I don't see much from that. I mean, he hasn't humbled himself a bit. He's out there cracking.
Hello.
Mark?
Oh, I'm losing you.
You know, his system will work. A coach will get it right. Side, real quick for commercial break. We're having some audio problems out of Denver. With, you're listening to Sports JPR.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket. And it's always the same place. And then they act so surprised when I find them. But I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the...
Back on on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Mark, having a little couple phone problems, technical problems out there in Denver, are you?
Yeah, I apologize for that, but it looks like we're back rolling. So I didn't hear what you said. I heard you saying.
I think Chip Kelly, I mean, he has no team whatsoever with the 49ers. I mean, he depleted the Eagles to the fact that, they're where the 49ers are. I don't think he's going to do much there. He may last a season or two. They needed to make a splash with the coach. I mean, he already got rid of the longtime defensive coordinator. He hired a running backs coach as his offensive coordinator. I don't know. I think the mad visor has just gone plain mad. I think there might be a straitjacket for him outside the park.
This way it gives that GM that doesn't know what he's doing, gives him some cover. He can fire Kelly at the end of next season if things aren't going well. But I am going to be interested to see what he does with Kaepernick, because Kaepernick is a much better scrambling, moving, dancing, jiving quarterback than he is in the pocket passer and has to think. He's more of an instinct guy. He's like Tebow, right? You can't put him in a pocket.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, I wish him the best. I mean, I don't think Chip Kelly wants to go back to college. If he doesn't want to go back to college, then he needs to do something. And the Niners really can't expect to win. So not like he has any, like, goals or anything. He can just do what he wants to do. So we'll see what happens.
It's true.
Anyway,
let's get into the Cardinals and Panthers. We have a first-time matchup of two Heisman-winning quarterbacks, which I personally can't believe that back in the 70s or 80s we didn't have a matchup like this. But this is the first time we have two Heisman winning quarterbacks facing off against each other in Cam Newton and Carson Palmer.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And also, I mean, this is the first time ever that you've got the two top seeds who are also the top two teams in points scored, the top two teams in margin of victory, and the top two teams in turnover differential within their conference. There's no way that's ever happened.
Right. Now, looking at the weather forecast for tomorrow, it's going to be mostly clear. This is a 6:40 kick. Most in Charlotte, it's going to be mostly clear. Temps in the low 30s. They're going to be not expecting any precipitation. Now, they had about a quarter inch to a half inch of ice with about 4 inches of snow on top. They're taking the cover off the field right before game time tomorrow. The field was in horrible condition last week. I can only imagine what it's going to be like this week. So
The ground's going to be hard. It's going to be a running game. And if the Cardinals can't get running, they're going to be in trouble, because it's going to be hard to pass. That ball is going to be rock hard.
Now, do you think with Cam Newton and his running back, Stewart, back in the lineup here, do you think they can establish the running game faster than Carson Palmer can establish the running game?
Well, I think they should. I think that this might be one of those games where you call a few extra designed QB runs up the middle, make the Cardinals put extra guys in the box. Obviously, if Stewart can run well, that will help. But Cam Newton is a force. I mean, I know people don't like him, but he's just amazing. He's huge. He is scary. I mean, you see sometimes when he gets tackled, he doesn't even get tackled. He just kind of like eventually goes, oh, I can't pull this guy with me, so he just kind of goes down to a knee and then gets back up. And the defender was, like, wrapped around and pulling with all their might. You know, I mean, the guy is just a massive, you know, hulk of a dude. And I think this is the kind of game where you run it. You run him up that middle with some draws, some options, maybe, I don't know. I mean, you know, just some kind of little bootlegs and stuff like that. And I think that you can, you know, spread that defense. You can get that defense to collapse into the front seven and open it up to the passing game, because it's not like they have really talented receivers.
That's true. I think you're going to watch Cam do a lot of read option in this game, where he's going to take the ball or give it off straight up the gut. That's the best part of the field. They relayed that sod a couple weeks ago. Cards lost to Carolina in the wild card round last year, and Cam Newton, we're looking at the MVP stats here. He had 35 passing touchdowns, 10 rushing touchdowns. Cam was a stud this year. He had a breakout season, I think, with a team where we all thought was dead in the water before the season.
Do you remember that? Do you remember when I don't know if it was Kelvin Benjamin or whoever it was. There was
Benjamin.
One guy. Yeah, and he went down in preseason.
And
we all wrote
them off.
Oh, yeah, they've got no receivers. Now they've got Jonathan Stewart without DeAngelo Williams, and even with both of them, they weren't very good, and they don't have a good line. And boy, I tell you what, I mean, we knew their defense was okay, but that's why.
Oh, we got a point.
I mean, I've been
quick. Jared Allen's not going to play tomorrow. He is off the roster right now with an injury, so that's going to hurt the defense a little bit. Now, Carolina is undefeated at home this year.
Yeah, that's huge. And, let me do a Carson Palmer. He did not look good during much of the end of that Green Bay game last week. Larry Fitzgerald is why they got down into the end zone, and then it wasn't even a pass. It was just a shovel play. So, I don't know. Carson has to be hot early. He has to. That's it.
He has to.
If Arizona doesn't score 14 in the first half, they lose the game.
Yes. No, I would agree with you on that one. I think the Panthers are going to finish this one in style. This is going to be a tough game. I mean, if Arizona can get a running game going, they're going to have a lot of luck now with their fast receivers and the outside of that field. If they can't get that running game going, they're in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing a Panthers 27, Cardinals probably 16,
All right. So you're going to give your final score already. Panthers 27, you said Cardinals
16.
Okay, Panthers 27, Cardinals 16. I'm looking at this game, and I'm thinking that the weather and the field conditions are going to nullify the absolute – I mean, they have two of the fastest wide receivers in the game in Arizona, plus the best possession wide receiver gone into the Hall of Fame as a Cardinal on a first – as soon as 5 years in Larry Fitzgerald. I'm looking at this game – basically as a 31-17 game. So I'm going to take the Panthers 31-17, and I'm going to blame a lot of this on the field conditions and the cold weather. Now, I know Carson Palmer played in Cincinnati. I know he played in a lot of cold weather games, but I think that he lost a lot of playoff games, too, and they're still not winning playoff games in Cincinnati. Now, I know that they just – It's just one of those things where the speed is just, I think, is going to get negated on the outside, and just I think they're going to have problems, and I don't think they're going to get that running game going. I feel bad because I do believe that they are the best team in the league right now, I think circumstances are they didn't get home field advantage, and I think that's going to cost them just like it cost Seattle last week.
I think so. I just think that Palmer, you love the guy. He's a great player, but you just don't get that feeling in the postseason like he believes he's going to win. Now, maybe getting that win last week, maybe he'll feel like the curse is broken and he'll be relaxed. Because if he's relaxed, Carolina's in trouble. Because Carolina's scoring comes from their defense putting you in bad field position and then turning you over, and then late in the fourth quarter when teams are really, really tired, Cam Newton, Jonathan Stewart, Fozzie Whitaker, and whoever their fullback is, they just start grinding it right at you in the fourth quarter, and you can't stop them, and they were scoring 14 points at the end of the game a lot. So Carolina is going to win this game unless, in my opinion, Carson Palmer is relaxed, throwing the ball early and accurate, and they never get behind.
Well, there you have it. You have Mark's opinion on that one. Let us go to a commercial break and get the main event on the table. We're going to come back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark, previewing the Broncos versus the Patriots. Peyton versus Brady, number 17. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. We want to thank our sponsors, Sage Media and EKFit.net, SageMediaLLC.com. We'll be right back.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course!
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay,
squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Mark, we have a special guest putting on the headset. Our special guest tonight is the one and only Dan Matthews from Lacrosse Talk Radio. Like I said, we are at the 2016 U.S. Lacrosse Convention. Unfortunately, we were there yesterday. We're not able to get an Uber or a car or anything to get over there today.
Well, we had our own 2 feet, but that wasn't going to happen.
That was not going to happen, Dan. It just was not going to happen. We saw a lot of people walking in the roads out there and thought they were nuts.
You know, some might say the only thing I know is lacrosse because that's what I talk about most of the time. It's time to outshine you boys when it comes to talking football.
Mark, we're in for some good discussion here. We've been having these discussions all day long. So,
first thing you have to know is that the word fumble shouldn't exist. We'll talk about that in a minute. Second thing you need to know, the game tomorrow, second game, NFC, Panthers win 38-35 on a last-second field goal by Graham Gano.
38-35. I'm going to put you in there.
It's going to come down to the kickers, and I firmly believe that at the end of the day, the defenses aren't going to be able to get the footing to stop the offenses.
Good point.
And we're going to see a shootout. And the only reason I'm picking the Panthers to win is, well, two reasons. A, home field. B, my best friend is a Carolina Panther fan, born and raised in North Carolina. And if I didn't pick him, he'd be.
Well, I would definitely think that it'd be a more fun game if the Panthers and or if the game is close like that in a shootout. But I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a slow game, and that usually means a burner. So,
well, let's get ourselves into the main event here for all of us. Brady versus Manning, number 17. Let me just go over the whole cold, stone cold hard facts here. Brady leads the all time series 11-5 with Peyton. Brady versus the Colts were 8-4 with Peyton. Versus the Broncos, he's 3-1. In Foxborough, he's 8-2, 3-3 in Indy and / Denver. Right now, in the last 10 seasons, they are 5-5. Let's just look at a quick rundown of the last couple games here. 2012, on October 7th, Pats beat him in Gillette Stadium 31-21. 2013, November 24th, Pats win 34-31 in OT at Gillette. 2014, this is the Broncos' only win, 26-16. That came at Mile High. And we go back to 2014, November 2nd, Pats win 43-21 at Gillette. Of course, this year's game did not count because Peyton was not playing. These are all Peyton versus Brady numbers. The last time he won on the road in this is Brady in 2007. He won in Indy.
Hey, Brady is 2-6 in Denver lifetime. He's 0-2 in the postseason in their lifetime. Out of those 8 games where he's got those 2 wins in Denver, were against Danny Cannell and Tim Tebow. So
can we all do a Tebow right now, please?
Incredibly bad quarterback. What's that?
I think we all should Tebow right now for some reason. I have no idea why.
Oh, I'll go down and give a Tebow if it gets a win for the Broncos. But, hey, Manning is 3-1 in AFC championship matchups. So I give him a shot. Why not? I mean, why not let him run off into the sunset and have an epic final game of his career? Or final game of his, final game in Denver.
Don't write him off yet, Mark.
No, I'm not. But I'm worried.
Yeah, no, I'd love to see Peyton go riding off into the sunset here, out as a winner, Super Bowl champion. You know, they're going to have a tough time tomorrow. The Broncos need to get the running game going, and lucky for them, Mayo is out of the game. Now, the Broncos, the first meeting when Osweiler was the quarterback, had trouble running the ball until Mayo did go out of the game. I believe it was the third quarter, and then they finally picked the running game up. But, of course, we do know that the end of that game was referee-enhanced, a little biased on the Broncos side, in my opinion. Just as
the Broncos Patriots Bronco get fans so many damn calls.
Well,
the Patriots get all the
calls. All this crybaby stuff, and this, I'm like, do you really want to infuriate the man any more than he already is in Psycho Tom and wants revenge on this team?
Yeah,
especially
I don't think it's a good idea to do that. I like that the defense, because the defense wasn't healthy last time. They really weren't. And it showed because they had some linebackers covering guys they couldn't cover, especially like in Bolden. And this time they're going to have all of their players. So it's really going to be the best defense against Brady and Belichick and McDaniels and their offensive juggernaut that they always have. I'm nervous, I'll be honest, because he didn't have Edelman last time. And Edelman's looking pretty good. So if you've got Edelman and Gronk at full health, and then you've got LaFell and Amendola on the outside, that's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard to stop that. And Belichick is 3-0 in his career again when he played the number one defense in the league.
Well, with Edelman on the field, Brady is undefeated. The Patriots are undefeated right now. So.
But Edelman's not the catch-all to this game. I mean, it's plain and simple. If the Broncos could put the heat up the middle on Tom Brady, not let him step up into the pocket and throw the football, Broncos win the football game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's an if.
How do they do that?
That's number one.
Can they do that with their front four? Because I don't think they can.
Absolutely. Malik Jackson absolutely can get up the middle, and so can Derek Wolfe. Not worried about that part of it. But because you got to also look at the back end of this, Mark, and the simple fact of the matter is Tom Brady going up against the Kansas City Chiefs last week and getting rid of the ball in 2.1 seconds was not doing that against Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. Wasn't happening. Now you've got
they might do that tomorrow, though.
Good point,
he
Mark.
Can't do it once
I mean, he's going to have all his complement of receivers now. He only had Gronk in the last game.
He doesn't have
There's
his
no
compliment.
Reason
I mean,
that he can't. He could do those quick passes. He could do the quick slants. We can see that tomorrow very easily. Where the whole thing for the Broncos is they got a good middle linebackers and they've got good outside linebackers and they got Von Miller, who's probably going to need to be more of a damage control guy than a blitzer tomorrow. Marcus Ware is going to have to do the blitzing. And what they're going to have to do is tackle guys after they catch the ball. No catch and runs for 15 yards.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is, slant all you want. I'll take T.J. Ward nailing Julian Edelman over the middle, time in and time out, all day, every day.
It's all about points, though. If that means that they're getting first downs every two plays, you know, and then Gronk in the end zone, that's a problem. They got to stop them or the running backs, when they do the little flat passes, the little screen passes, on any of those kind of plays, they have got to tackle the guys right after they catch the ball. If we start getting this catch the ball and then get 3 to 4 yards upfield on every passing play, Broncos lose that game. The defense can't play like that. The defense has to play a minimum yardage game.
But bottom line is, this one's at Sports Authority Field. Patriots aren't coming in and beating the Broncos at Sports Authority Field unless they play a perfect game. We talked a few minutes ago. You guys talked a few minutes ago, and JP made a reference to the Broncos wouldn't even be here had Fitzgerald Toussaint not fumbled the football. Lest we forget,
right?
Toussaint did not fumble the football. The Broncos took the damn ball away from him, and they've been doing it to teams all year long.
Do you think Manning can lead? How many points can Manning put on the board? How many points did the offense score tomorrow? How many do you think?
Let's put it there. The Broncos only have to put 24 points on the board to win tomorrow.
That's a tall, tall order.
I said the Broncos. They didn't say the offense.
You know what? Let's regroup here. Let's take
my
10 seconds.
My over-under for that offense is
station identification here real quick. We're going to regroup here.
Hey, guys. This is Allie from Jim and Nick's off of Hamden and I-25, and you're listening to Sports Offensive with JP and Mark on blogtalkradio.com.
All right, I think we need to take a quick breather right there. We're back on the offensive here. We are definitely on the offensive right now.
I need to take a breather with Allie, I'm thinking.
And she lives right across my apartment complex.
I think without a question, Broncos over-under on the offense is 16 points. They go more than 16 with the offense, Broncos win the game. But they got to do that. They got to get at least 16, and boy.
I'm saying that for the Broncos to have a chance in this game, they need to score in the first half a touchdown. They have to get a touchdown, hopefully in the first quarter, but I'm going to give it the first half. They can't go through the whole first half kicking field goals.
They need to score a touchdown on something other than the first drive, because the first drive is scripted, and that's not as impressive when you score on a scripted drive, because that means there's no adjustments to be made until the next drive. So they've got to score a touchdown and not just that first drive. I agree with you there. If they don't do that, I don't think they can win.
Mark, do you really believe that the Patriots defense can hold the Broncos to under 17 points?
And remember, Mayo is out of the game.
And Collins is hurt.
It comes down to Hightower. If Hightower isn't there or is not effective, Broncos will score more points because Hillman and C.J. Anderson will run all day. If Hightower is on, then he stops them. And it's the same thing with Clay Matthews. It wasn't fucking Mayo who was stopping him. It was Hightower that was stopping the running game. So that's everything. If he can stop the running game again, Broncos go nowhere, because with Manning at quarterback, you don't have to protect the edges at all. You don't ever have to have anybody out on the flat. You can just let everybody go into coverage or into blitz, and that's what the problem's been. So, yeah, if they can run the game, if they can run the ball, they're going to be fine. But I think it's all Hightower. Get Hightower out, Broncos win.
Peyton did against the Steelers again. He's been throwing those lob passes out to the sidelines, which I just foresee a pick six coming at some point. With those fluttering balls that are going to the sideline. He's not putting any zip to the sideline. They got to get away from that.
I think he had a ton more zip on the ball against Pittsburgh than he's had all year.
He did, but he's not throwing to the sideline, though. Over the middle, I think he had a ton more zip, but that ball still flutters way for a long time in the air, in my opinion, when he's throwing to the sideline.
I'm not worried about Peyton Manning. There isn't anybody I'd rather have at quarterback tomorrow at Mile High Stadium than Peyton Manning. It's the best reader of a defense in the entire NFL. I'm going to say the Broncos run.
Belichick knows that, though. Belichick knows all about how Peyton Manning can do that. So what he's going to do is Belichick is going to run the defense out of the same formation no matter what. It's probably going to be three guys down and then one guy on the outside on the perimeter that can be down or up. But he's going to run the exact same set for no matter what he calls, whether it's a zone, blitz, man-to-man, whatever. He's going to call the exact same formation because he knows that's what Manning is looking for to see where the blitz is coming from. So, I mean, all I'm hoping is that the Broncos don't look completely inept on offense, because then they can win the game. And we'll know that pretty early, because they either can't move the ball at all or they look like a normal football team. And I don't know if Manning can do that or not. I'm really hopeful. But,
Belichick is
the best player. Those are two things that take the best player away. So who do you think – who's the best player on the Broncos? Who is he going to take away?
Who are they going to try to take away, offensively or defensively?
No, on offense. Who is Bill Belichick going to take away from the Broncos' offense? Because he can do it. He can take away a player and make him completely not matter in the game. And I think it's Emmanuel Sanders, but I'm wondering who you guys think he tries to take out.
I challenge him to try to take one out, because if you take out Sanders, we'll throw the ball all day long to Demaryius Thomas and run it up the middle.
I think he takes out Demaryius is who he's going to key up on.
And then we'll throw bubble screens and slants to Sanders and chew up the defense that way.
Guys, we got 30 seconds left. Let's get to some predictions here. Mark, why don't you go first?
Well, my heart is saying 24-17 Broncos. But my head is saying 45 Patriots, 17 Broncos. So,
what do you got?
I go both ways.
Manning throws for 250. The Broncos offense runs for $175. Broncos win the football game 27-18.
I'm looking at the game. I am going to go Denver's defense holds Tom Brady to 28 points. Peyton only puts up 21. I'm going to go with a Patriot win, unfortunately, 28-21. That's all the time we have for you on the Sports Offensive tonight. I want to thank all our fans out there for listening. Go to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, www.thesportsoffensive.com. I want to thank Dan Matthews from La Crosse Talk Radio for joining us as a special guest tonight. I want to thank Mark for being on the phone out in Denver, Colorado. And once again, I am JP. And you have been listening to The Sports Offensive with JP and Mark on blogtalkradio.com. Everyone have a good night and enjoy the games and be safe out there.